Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Okay, let's open the scriptures, if you will, to Revelation 10. We will finish Revelation 10 tonight. And we'll not have study next Tuesday, Wednesday. So the following, we will get right into chapter 11. And so let's prepare ourselves for our study in regard to our prayers, any prayer requests that is new. And, okay, just bear in mind the things we have to be in prayer for. I'm sorry? Absolutely. How's he doing? Uh-huh. He can do that. Cannot. Neither can John, no. Good. See? So you can really appreciate what John's going through. He can't even do that. He can, if he doesn't have a brace on, he can't do anything.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, we'll continue to pray for the function of his body, motor activity. All right. Sometimes Jim and I have trouble too, but we don't think it's anything like that. It's just, we think it's more up in the head. The body won't do what we tell it to do as soon as we tell it. 5 minutes later, boom, oh yeah. Okay. I talked to John today, and he's doing really well, walking a whole lot now with his cane. He teaches standing up and just making wonderful progress each passing week. And so continue to be in prayer for him. Nancy Becker is still healing, so please be in prayer. Little complications every now and then. Vic Edwards and his family need our prayers. Brian Wise needs our prayer in regard to finding out what is wrong with his body. And there are just so many things, as you all know, that if we take a car into a car shop and get mad because they can't fix it, and we made the automobile, just think about the human body that we did not make, where everything is just interrelated, interconnected. And it can just, anything can be from so many different things that could cause various types of problems that he has. So we'll be in prayer. So again, we will not have class next week, and I solicit your prayers. A safe trip to Missouri and back. So let's begin tonight in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the scriptures, for the work of God the Holy Spirit in inspiring writers to write these things down that you would have us to know, the Holy Spirit preserving the scriptures. But Heavenly Father, how dependent are we on him tonight? What value is having divinely inspired, inerrant, infallible scriptures preserved throughout all the centuries, if we did not have your Spirit to open our eyes? So, Father, we pray tonight he will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see. Father, we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, let's see. Today is the 28th, so we're very close to December, which means we're very close to the end of this year. So, man, it's going fast. All right. Jim never thought he'd live this long. We'd have taken better care of ourselves. If we'd have known we're this long, we'd have taken better care of ourselves physically, financially, a lot of ways. Oh, I had a friend years ago, older guy, and he used to say, when I pray for wisdom. Okay, I said, okay, because I knew he was leading somewhere. And I said, all right, I said, I want to have the wisdom to handle my money where my life and my money run out the same day. And so God can give me that kind of wisdom that I don't want to leave a dime to anybody. I want to enjoy every bit of it that day. Okay, Revelation chapter 10. And let's just read 1 through 4 and take it up from there. And I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire, and we've noted these things. And he had in his hand a little book, a little book. This book is already opened. It's not the book of chapter 5 of the with the seven seals. This is another little book. And he placed his right foot on the sea and his left on the land. This is symbolizing Christ coming to take possession of the earth. And he cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. When he cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. And when the seven peals of thunder had spoken. So it's debated, but I see nothing in here that says what they said is in the little book. We have the little book, and then we have what the angels, what the thunder spoke. So we have two messages going on here. When the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write. Well, of course, he heard some new things, so he started to write them down. I don't know if he is like Columbo and just always carried a little book and started to write them down, one more thing. But he was starting to write. And I heard a voice from heaven. So this is not the angel. This is another voice coming down. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken. Do not write them." So we have written word in the little book. We have peals of thunder uttering information audibly understood. And he cannot write those down. So we're going to have a book with things in it. We have utterances, and we're not going to know what either one of them are right now. Whether we know in eternity, you'll have to wait till you get there and find out. But this is what's happening at this point in our study. Now, many people, in fact, most speculate what is in the little book or what is in the utterings of the thunder. And what they speculate is that it is announcements of horrible judgments yet to come. Well, think about it. We've already had revealed horrible judgments of the seven seals. We have revealed burning fire and brimstone and Satan thrown into it and all the angels thrown into it and all mankind that didn't believe in Christ thrown into it. What's going to be more horrible than that if we think of that in truth? There's nothing yet to be hidden about all of that. So it's not really necessary to keep any judgments a secret. It is more probable. Right? This is what you're getting now, not in exegesis. We're talking about the passage. To me, it is more probable that the voice of the thunders, and I'll talk about even the little book, announcing a revelation to John that John clearly understood, and it was so phenomenal. This is what I think. Most people can tell you it's judgments. I think it was so phenomenal that John immediately started writing it down, but was stopped. And we are in the midst of all these horrible things, all these horrible judgments, and here in the middle of all this death and destruction, we take time out for a small little chapter 10, for two little utterances by God, one in a little book, one made by the thunder. He gives us a chapter that's a secret. He reveals, but he conceals it. Now, why? Why would God insert at this point in discussion of the earth's destruction, just before the opening of the last seal and the last woe and this last seven bowl judgments, as they're called, why would God insert this at this point? Let's talk about the characteristics of God here. It is a characteristic of God that I've seen in the study of Scripture, reading of Scripture, to bring history, man, to a helpless and hopeless situation, like in the garden, like with Job, and now on earth, as we closed out chapter 9 and getting ready for chapter 11. And then what does God do? God suddenly appears with the most unbelievable grace alternatives. That's his characteristic. Genesis starts out, everything's dark, gloomy, covered the earth. Tohu vabohu, covering the earth. Let there be light. What a little phrase. Not a long dissertation. Let there be light. In the English, very few words. So, this is a characteristic of God. And I wonder if this is not, if everybody, you can do the same. Everybody can imagine what it might be. I wonder if this is an announcement of such amazing grace that John couldn't even handle it, and neither could we. And will be revealed later on. And that's what I think we have going on here. It is a characteristic of God when a message is just unbelievably, unfathomably grace. To do what, people? Keep it short, isn't it? Keep it very simple. To say it in few words, let there be light. Righteousness by faith. Trust me. Believe in the one I send. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. By grace you are saved. But on the other hand, it's a characteristic of God in this book that when he wants to give a false message, think about this now. I hope I'm not confusing any of you. But when he wants to give a false message, what is it? It's long. Takes up a lot of stuff in the Bible, a lot of pages. Wants to give the law. Gives just page after page of the law. He wants to talk about destruction, page after page in Revelation and in the prophets. When God wants to talk about these things, it's loud. Very loud. My friend John Hintz likes to talk about it very loud and these things. I haven't used it too much, but very loud. Like coming at Mount Sinai. Just the thunder and the lightning, and it was loud. And long. And burdensome. But when he wants to make it something wonderful, it's just a few pages. If it's even a page. Do you realize if we want to write down the law, we've got to write page after page after page. How much do you and I have to write if we want to write? We've been studying on Sunday morning, the gospel message. I mean, depending on how wordy we are, just a couple of sentences. Dr. Ryrie did this in seminary. It was wonderful. He did this his senior year. So here we are, all seniors in senior theology. We've all been through 4 years, 3.5 years of seminary, getting ready to turn us loose on the world, which is a dangerous thought. And he has his class write the gospel. That was just write it. And turn it in to me. Right now. Just take out a piece of paper and write it. And a couple of us talked with him and we enjoyed a good camaraderie. And he was just blown away. The man was blown away at what he was given. When he concluded all of the class. He just looked at it and says, is this what we're teaching? Is this what you guys are getting here? And it was just confounding to him. Because the gospel that we're seeing, it's called the gospel of promise, the gospel of the kingdom. Now we're studying the gospel of God. And we're just going to continue on. It's the same gospel. And it's very simple. So when God desires to bring the good news of the gospel, it's brief. It's not confusing. It's not burdensome. And it's peaceful. It's very peaceful. Now, John is not allowed to write down whatever he heard. Daniel was told to seal up things that he was given. Look with me at Daniel 12, please. Daniel 12, 4. We're going to have to stop for Daniel somewhere along the line. I'm working on it now. When you do something for over 30 years, it's just so hard not to or to change it and teach you Daniel in a chapter a night or something like that. I wanted to do it with Romans, and boy, I get into it. The Holy Spirit takes me into it. Maybe I shouldn't study at all. Maybe on something like that. Maybe I ought to do it. Just come to class, read the chapter Daniel 1, read chapter Daniel 2, and see what we see and move on. And just give it the gospel. Well, I mean, if it's to study Daniel. All right, Daniel 12:4. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words, the words that he has just been revealed to him. Conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Now, is this the little book? Well, if it is, it isn't going to be opened. Is this the book with the seven seals? People have a lot of options here. To the end of time, many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. That's near the end of time. And people, I don't know when the rapture is going to occur any more than anybody else, but boy, it sure looks good. It sure looks ripe. I mean, you look at things. I heard a retired general today talking about how there are three battles that are going to erupt at one time in the Middle East. Three. On three different fronts. And he said it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And look at the knowledge increase. What more can be done than the Internet? The wide world of Internet, you can just, any one of us can just sit down and plug in anything, and there it is. You want to know about brain surgery? There it is. You want to know about how to make a bomb? There it is. You want to know history? There it is. You want to buy something? There it is. That's what I look up. But it's just, and anything about the Bible. You can, do you know, if you want to have fun sometime, type in Revelation 10, what are we in? 10:5. And watch what comes up. Just a world before you. And you can go to some of them, and some of them are pretty good because they just take you right down through the Greek or Hebrew. They parse, they decline the noun, parse the verb, do all this stuff. And it's just amazing the stuff that's in the world. Knowledge, things that were not there like that when I was in seminary, so we had to memorize. We had to memorize all the endings to the noun, to the verbs and the nouns, and do all of this stuff. You don't even have to do it. Just there it is, and it's done. Now, what you do with it is the great crucial secret of being in the power of the Holy Spirit. But that's another thing. So we know more now than ever before. Yet, look how many people are filled with stress, anxiety, and depression. Look how many people are so miserable. And I'm talking about Christians, too. Miserable and sad and want money and never completely happy. All these things. Let's look at another occasion of keeping something a secret. Turn to me with 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to show you this is not an uncommon thing to be told to keep a secret. I won't say a word about tell a woman. Those days are gone. Those things are no longer funny. You get shot for them now. Okay. 2 Corinthians. And I think what we'll do is look at chapter 12. And I turn there with you. 2 Corinthians 12. And let's just read a few verses. Let's read verses 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 4. Boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable. But I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ, now he's talking about himself, Paul. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I do not know, God knows, and that's said enough. Such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, himself, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. You can tell that was very heavy on Paul trying to grasp what had happened to him. And I'm sure we would. But God knows. Verse 4. was caught up into the paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not, which a man himself, Paul, not permitted to speak. I wonder, people, if we're seeing such unbelievable grace, we cannot comprehend it. We'll know later if that is the case. So Paul, Daniel, and now John are told to keep silent. And there's just so much more that we do not know at this point in God's plan and what God is doing. And that, people, is why we walk by faith, and that's why we live by faith. We don't try to figure it out. God doesn't tell us to try to figure it out. So often in seminary and since seminary, and you meet people, they want to figure it all out. They just kind of want to understand everything. You don't want to do that. You just trust Him. Just trust Him and walk by unbelievable faith. Always remember, we do not have to know all the facts. We know the One who is in control, and that's what we need to know. And you don't ever want to limit His grace. People, be so careful limiting His grace. I know this is going to happen at the end time. Do you? Do you know? Is there something that Paul heard and saw? Is there something that John heard and saw that would put down or put to shame or put away or change some of the things you think you know, we think we know? Because we know that God does say things like in Ezekiel 1:4, in the same chapter, I will not let you go in the land. Five verses down, oh, okay, I will let you go in the land. And people have trouble with all of that. I don't have any trouble with that. But so be careful when you claim that you know and understand all and everything, because we don't know. Therefore, we just live by grace. Okay, Revelation 10:5. Got to live by faith, not by sight. All right, 10:5. And the angel whom I saw, this is the mighty angel, standing on the sea and on the land, lifted up his right hand to heaven. Now, I could take you back and show you in the Old Testament, that is a position of giving an oath. And in a sense, we do that, don't we, in a court of law? Raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? Well, if I do that, how will I get a fair trial? And that was supposed to have been funny. Okay. But you raise your right hand, and you say you're going to do that. So, and standing on the sea and on the land, lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore. Okay. To affirm by Him, that is, to affirm by Him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it. We know that from Colossians 1:16, Hebrews 1:10, that's Jesus Christ. He is the creator of all things. So we know that from those passages. Jesus Christ, the second member of the Godhead, the God-man. That there shall be delay no longer. What the Greek actually says is, or that time no longer shall be. Now, what time is he talking about? The time of delay. In other words, delay is no longer, it's now time. So when the sounding of the seventh seal, the seventh trumpet here, boy, this is going to open it all up. It's now ready to happen. How many times have we seen in Isaiah where one of the requirements to who is sufficient to be God is what? To be able to say what is going to happen and have it come about. You, Satan, you say what's going to happen. See if you can bring it about. I'm God. I can tell you what's going to happen. I will bring it about. That's what we have happening here. This is that same principle. It's the sufficiency of God, to be able to tell what is going to happen. Daniel 12 continues the vision of chapter 11. Let's look at Daniel 12 a moment, please. Daniel 12. Daniel 12 continues the vision of Daniel 11. So I'm just telling you that to give you a framework of what's going to be talked about here. And sometimes I type up the notes. or the verses we're going to read, and I don't, and I didn't in this case. All right, Daniel 12. Now, let's start reading. It's where Daniel sees the events of the Great Tribulation. And it started in chapter 11. So let's start reading in Daniel 12:6. Daniel 12:6. And one said to the man dressed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be until the end of these wonders? How long will it be? How long must Israel suffer? Is what he's talking about. How long must the Gentile nations continue to rule and to war against Israel and against one another? How long will this Satan regime continue? Verse 7. And I heard the man dressed in linen, chapter 10, verse 5, who was above the waters of the river, as he raised his right hand and his left toward heaven and swore by him. Again, that lifting up the hand is the fashion of swearing. Okay, it's a physical move. Who lives forever, that it would be for a time, a year, times two more years, and half a time. That's a half a year, 3.5 years. So we're in the middle of the Daniel's 70th week. We're in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. Okay. Best place to see, let's go back to Revelation 10 now. Best place to see where all this is going is, and I'm going to give it to you, we won't turn there for the sake of time. But because I want to do something else we're going to need time for. Habakkuk 2:2-4. You remember in that passage is where Habakkuk said, how long and why? How long? And God said, what did God say? It will come swiftly. It will not delay. So we got to turn here. It's right directly related. I'm sorry. Look at Habakkuk. I love Habakkuk. It's a small little book. Filled with so much. All right, Habakkuk. Chapter 2. And we're just going to read quickly 2 through 4. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision. Now, John's told not to record. Record the vision and inscribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. Okay, when's that appointed time? That's what we're seeing in Revelation 10 right now. It's no longer, it's time now. The delay is over. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal. It will not fail. God's in control. Though it tarries, and it's tarried since the time of Daniel to Christ, and in 2,000 years since then. Wait for it. Now, what does that mean? You just walk in faith. Don't try to make it happen. Just trust Him. For it will certainly come. It will not delay. That is equivalent to what we're seeing in the Greek in Revelation 10, where it says, it's now no longer going to delay. It's time now. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. That's the arrogant one. But the righteous will live by his faith. Just continue to trust him no matter what happens. And for you and for me, I don't know when the rapture is going to occur, but let's say it doesn't occur in our life. So we just continue living by faith. We don't fall apart with what's happening in the world. Does God know what's going on earth? Does God care what's going on earth? While at times it may seem like he does not care, God is very much aware, people. I love every now and then to remind certain people when I'm talking with them, people, it's just so profound. He knows when every hair on your head falls. He knows. He cares. So it may look like he doesn't. That's when we trust him. So true of our lives. Many times it looks like God does not care, either doesn't know, doesn't care about your life. But rest assured, he knows and he cares and he's provided. Okay? Chapter 10, verse 7. Revelation. Revelation 10, 7. But there shall be delay no longer, but, beginning of verse 7 now, but, right now, see, there shall be no delay, but, right now, then they cut in parentheses, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, that's the sound of his trumpet, then the mystery of God is finished, completed, just as he preached to his servants, the prophets. Okay. Six angels have sounded the trumpets. The seventh is about to sound. But it will not be sounded until chapter 11, verse 15. The last trumpet will bring about the seven bowl trumpets. And when he does blow his trumpet, mysteries of God are going to start unfolding. Start unfolding. There are so many mysteries in the New Testament and the Old Testament. The mystery of the kingdom, the mystery of Jesus Christ. Oh, there are just so many. And for a little introduction to this concept of the mysteries of God that concerns the times and all these things, I want you to look forward to Job 12 with me in a moment, remembering that Job is the first book written to us. Job is the first book given to us. Job 12, where Job extols or praises the greatness of God, and he says in verse 22, Job 12:22, he reveals, he, God, reveals the mysteries, plural, the mysteries out from the darkness. Now you see the darkness, what does the darkness do? Darkness conceals, doesn't it? Even our own house, we can't see. It conceals. So he's going to reveal the light. Is going to reveal the mysteries and brings the deep darkness into light. Outside of this one plural, mystery is found in Daniel only in the Old Testament. We have this place where mystery is plural, and in Daniel, mystery is singular. We're coming to a place where we just really need to quickly look at Daniel. I don't know when we'll do that, but we need to do that at some point. But for that, you can read Daniel 2, 18 through 23, and then read verse 47. Let's read it. Let's go to Daniel. I don't know what we'll do. I may be the only one here to finish chapter 10 tonight, but we'll finish it. All right. Daniel 2. Daniel chapter 2. Guy was speaking at a public banquet, and he went on and on and on and on and kept going on and on and on, and everybody left. Everybody left except one guy right over there. One guy. So when he got through, he walked down and says, well, did you like it that much? He said, no, I was paid to do the benediction. Okay, let's look at Daniel chapter 2, and we'll read verses 18 and 19. Verses 2, 18 and 19, in order that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So this was a mystery that no one could interpret the king's dream, but Daniel was given by God the power to interpret it. Look at verse 47 of chapter 2. Verse 47. The king answered Daniel and said, surely your God is a God of gods, and the Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries. Remember, this is one of the big things, and who's sufficient to be God, since you have been able to reveal this mystery. Okay? There are a multitude of mysteries in the Bible, and this bothers a lot of Bible church people. We got this idea we ought to know it all. We study. That's why we study, so we know it all. I'm learning the more I study, the least I know. But this, we like to study so we can comprehend things, and then we find there are whole so many things we can't. How wonderful it is when we realize that we don't know it all, and we just have to trust Him. Let me give you some things. I want to take the time to do this. Number one, turn to 1 Corinthians 2. Got a little Bible class tonight. 1 Corinthians 2. I hope people that listen on the internet or listen to discs or tapes do so with their Bibles. I sure hope they do. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, point 1, we do not know the mystery of God's wisdom. We do not know the mystery of God's wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak God's wisdom in mystery form, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Point 2, we do not know the mystery of the history of Israel. Oh, we think we do, but we don't. Look at Romans chapter 11. Romans 11, 25. Romans 11, 25. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Great deal of history in that one little verse. Point 3, the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. The mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Mark 4:11. Mark 4:11. Verse 11, and he was saying to them, Jesus Christ is speaking, to you it has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables. Why does God speak in parables? So they wouldn't understand. But those in the filling of the Spirit have this mystery enlightened to them. All right, 4, the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy. Are you seeing how many of these are revealed to us in the power of the Spirit? 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. And by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh, was vindicated in the Spirit, beheld by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. That's our song one day that we'll sing Sunday morning. It's right there. 5, the mystery of Christ and the church. The mystery of Christ and the church. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 31 and 32. Ephesians 5, 31. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. 6, here's a mystery. The mystery of Christ in us. The mystery of Christ in us. Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. The mystery of Christ in us. This one is still confusing people. The mystery of Christ in us. Colossians 1, 26 and 27. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to His saints. That's to you and I in the Spirit, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, mystery which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 7, the mystery of the rapture of the church. The mystery of the rapture of the church. 1 Corinthians 15, the great passage on death. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. 15, 51. In my early days of enthusiasm and just wrong, but I used to read almost all of 1 Corinthians 15 at funerals, and I finally realized people were just, what? What? Even Christian, you know, what? I'm going to sleep, and what is he doing? But it is a powerful chapter. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. One more that's important to our study on Sunday, the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel, Ephesians 6. The mystery of the gospel, Ephesians 6, 19. And pray on my behalf, Ephesians 6, 19, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Mystery of the gospel. Mystery of the gospel, of course, are all the things that we're reading. Gospel of the kingdom, gospel of God, gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ came, died on our place. That's a mystery. People can't figure that out. There's just no way man would come up with such a marvelous plan of salvation. There's no way outside. If we were not given to us, if it was unassisted by the Holy Spirit, man would never come up with this kind of salvation, this kind of gospel. It's a total mystery to man. It's foolishness to some people. It's just foolishness that God would give His Son and His Son would die on a cross and rise again. And all, it's foolishness. And you can't take a chisel and break open their brain and get them to understand it. It's foolishness. They're not going to. They can't grasp it. It's a mystery. The unbelievable grace that is there. Now, the final one, the mystery as far as Revelation 10 is related to the end of times. The mystery here is told by the Old Testament prophets and even in the New Testament and by Christ Himself. God's plan for the final stage of the history of man, including the tribulation, middle of the tribulation, the events from the middle of the tribulation to the end of the tribulation cut short, the second advent, the millennium, the end of times, eternity. It's all a mystery. We get an idea, but we don't understand it. It's a mystery. All the perplexities of history, all the confusions are all going to be unveiled during that period of time. But for right now, they're all a mystery. Okay, Revelation 10:8. Revelation 10:8. And the voice which I heard from heaven, same voice that told him not to write in verse 4, I heard again, speaking with me. We don't know if that's God, probably is the Holy Spirit, maybe Jesus Christ. I heard again, speaking with me, and saying, now by the way, this lets us know that John is where? John's on earth. The voice comes down from heaven. This is what the voice said. Go, take the book which is opened in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land. Now, John is instructed to do more than listen now. He's not to write, but let's see what he's told to do now. He's told to go take the book. Verse 9, he does it. And I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book. John must have been kind of frightful, just going before the angel. One time earlier, he wanted to bow down and worship him. Now he's got to walk up and say, give me the book. And he said to me, the angel said to me, take it, here it is, and eat it. and it will make your stomach bitter. But in your mouth, it will be as sweet as honey. Now, eating the Word is not new. Eating the Word is not new. Jeremiah had to eat the Word. Let's look at Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. You can find Isaiah, you can find Jeremiah. You can find Psalms, you can find Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter 15. Verse 16. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I ate them. And thy words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart, for I have been called by thy name. Now, Jeremiah is in a very difficult situation in his life, and a lot of things going on. That's why the only comfort he found was in the Word. Ezekiel also was told, ate the Word. Let's look over to Ezekiel chapter 3. Going past Jeremiah to Ezekiel. Lamentations, Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, and we're going to read the first three verses. Then he said to me, Son of man, that's what Ezekiel's called, eat what you find, eat the scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he fed me the scroll. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your stomach, and fill your body with the scroll, which I am giving you. Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. Now, he has just the sweetness of eating the scroll. Now, in that same motif, we are told, Matthew, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We're to take it in through our body. Now, what's the principle here? The principle, we are to assimilate the Scriptures. By that I mean they are to become part of all of us. Not all of us, but all of our own being. Our whole being, our not just our soul, but our bodies. To assimilate the Scriptures and take it in, sustain. As the body is sustained by food, we're sustained, our whole life and our bodies are sustained by the power of the Gospel. How do we eat the Word today? Start by being in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, make ourselves available to one that God has given to pastor, the pastor teacher. And then take in the Scriptures into our whole body. But let's look at our phrase in Revelation 10. We have a rather interesting phrase. Rather interesting phrase. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. Okay, first of all, note the order. The order here is interesting. What would we normally say? First of all, the mouth, and then the stomach. But note here, the stomach will be bitter. So he emphasized that, but the mouth, it will be sweet. This is almost one of those good news, bad news. Good news is, or the bad news is, it'll make your stomach bitter. Good news, though, it'll be sweet as honey. So this is very interesting. Now, in the next verse, verse 10, John states it in the more natural way. The principle is we take the truth of Scripture, it is so sweet. Now, let me just talk to you a minute. I'll tell you what most people do with the passage. Most people do with the passage, and I'm just telling you this so you'll know it, and you can, however the Spirit leads you, that the sweetness, you take in the Scriptures and you read, okay, and the bitterness are all the horrible judgments that are about to come. All the horrible things that are about to happen. That's what they consider to be the bitterness, the sweetness is salvation for all of the redeemed. And that's the way almost every person I read said that. I don't think I read anybody that didn't say that in the few people that I do like what they do with the languages. Now, let's see what else we could mean by this we mean. You take in the Scriptures, and it's so sweet. eternal security. That's sweet. That God has a provision. That's wonderful. That's sweet. That God has everything planned. That's sweet. And that God has given us the Holy Spirit. God knows our needs. And all of these, never leave us alone. All these wonderful things, forgiveness, mercy, compassion, the what's going to happen when we die, all those are sweet. Well, what then is bitter? What then is bitter to us? You know what's bitter to us, people? Living in the shadows. Living today in this life. Give you an example. We could tell an athlete before a great contest, you're going to win. You're going to win. That's sweet. That's good. But on your way to that, you're going to experience losses. You're going to get beat up. Your star player is going to go down. You yourself are just going to come away with crash bones. It is just going to be a horrible time. Well, that's the bitter part. And so what I'm saying here is that in our life, living in the flesh, we know that God cares. We know that God has a plan. But there are things that happen that we do with the prophets. We say, why? How long? How long is it going to be like this? How long is life going to continue like this? That's that bitter taste. But the sweetness is, He has a plan. And it's going to be taken care of. But we all live in circumstances sometimes in our lives. We go through periods in our lives where we really can't make sense of everything. Sometimes I think of my friend Gigi, who I don't understand this time frame, what God is doing. But I try to point out sometime in talking that look how much he's learned about the Lord. Look how much he's learned about the Word. What has God done with this bitter time? Hasn't he made it very sweet? See, this is a wonderful thing that happens in our life. You take some of the darkest moments in your life are the greatest moments, because that's when the light can shine. Some of the most bitter times in our life can be the sweetest. And I know that experientially true in my own life. Some of the most bitter times in dealing with friends and people and things were the sweetest. And when we know where God is, what God is doing, and we just trust Him, it makes it very sweet. I know how it's going to end. I know that one day I will see my Redeemer, as Job says. So that no matter what's going on, all this bitterness, the sweetness is always there. It's very powerful. Verse 10, and I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. So we hear the truths, we understand the truths, we believe the truths of all that God has done, His compassion, His forgiveness, His mercy, His plan and all this. And then to live it out, though, we're going to have some bitter moments. Verse 11, and they said to me, you must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. The first problem is, who are they? The voice from heaven that has spoken to John, the voice of the mighty angel who has spoken to John. Who are they? And they could be all three members of the Godhead. They can be the angel and the voice from heaven. And note this, he is to prophesy concerning many peoples, that's many races, nations all over the earth, tongues, that's various languages, and kings or rulers, leaders. And how will he do this? How will he do that? By writing the book of Revelation that we're in the midst of studying. Okay, that's chapter 10, and now we're ready for chapter 11, where we will get to the seventh trumpet. So we will resume here 2 weeks. Let's close in a word of prayer. I personally, Heavenly Father, can't wait to find out if you reveal it, the wonders that John was not to write and that were hidden from us in that little book. The wonders of your grace. The wonders of your love. Just so the depth of it, incomprehensible to us in the flesh. That's how I envision your grace, your love. Incomprehensible. If we understood, if we heard it, it would so confuse us. So bewilder us. And so we just live by faith. And when our body, resurrected body, and our mind, resurrected, then we'll be able to comprehend this little bitty book. What an awesome God you are. We can think of no better hands for our life to be in. No better hands for our future to be in. Even the future of this country. Future of this earth. We praise you, Father. In your Son's precious name. Amen.